Thank you for allowing me to come and speak to you this morning. As you all know, I was ordained 3 weeks ago, and I think maybe I didn't understand the minister there when he said, preach the word. Because in those three times, this is my 10th time to preach. And so rather than maybe just meaning use the Bible instead of Dr. Seuss or something else. I recently heard somebody preach out of Dr. Seuss' book. But he may have meant you've got a job to do that may take quite a little time when he said preach the word. This morning, if you would, I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalms chapter 11. As you're turning, I want to tell you that the top of my Bible, the top of my chapter there, it says, the theme is God's rule provides stability in the midst of panic. Because we can trust Him, we can face our problems. It says the author is David, and it says to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Psalms 11, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. I think I'll ask Earl to stand and ask God's blessing on his word. My text is found in the third verse. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It was probably a month ago or so that God started putting this thought on my heart. I got out my paper and pen and wrote it down and stuck it back in my pocket with my other papers and forgot about it. And then God brought it to my attention again the other day. So I got it out and began to study it, see what I could find in it. If you'd asked me before that, who asked this question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I would probably say God asked the question. And then, after just reading the chapter through casually, I would probably say David asked the question. But really, we wouldn't be quite right in either case. David preserved it for us. David wrote it here in this chapter. But at this time, David was serving in the courts of Saul. And it was a rather dangerous situation because of Saul's temper and his jealousy and so forth. And his friends and advisors had advised him to flee to the mountain, as the first verse tells us, to fly as a bird. And it was his friends who had said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? To these cowardly friends and advisors, David and their situation looked hopeless. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We've all heard this scripture preached on many times, but I don't remember an answer. But today I want to give you an answer to that question, and the answer is to rebuild them. Rebuild the foundations. If we'd look at Luke chapter 6, we'd see Jesus giving us a story of two builders. Two people set about to build a house, and the first one gets out his shovel and he digs deep and digs down until he hits a solid rock. And then he lays his foundation stones, and then he puts his house on top of it. The second one builds a little faster. Rather than digging down the solid rock, why, he found a place where the view was real good. You know, where he'd be able to sit in his living room and look out the front window and see the waves rolling in front of him there. A postcard picture view is what he is after. And the lay of the land maybe tilted forward just a little bit there, so he too had to get out his shovel and scoop off a little on the back side, and he probably stacked it on the front side. But then he too laid his foundation stones on top of that. David's advisors here recommended that he retreat, that he go back to the mountains. See, David had been in the mountains before. David had had success fleeing from Saul before. You know the story how David went down at nighttime and cut off the skirt of Saul's garment. How another time he went down and took Saul's weapons. And then the next day he hollered from another hillside over to Saul. Woke him up and said, you know, send one of your young men over to pick these up. You might need them. You don't want to be defenseless out here in these wild mountains. But because David had had success in the past, his advisors recommended that he retreat, that he go back to past experiences. And folks, past blessings are good, but God expects us to go forward. The song says, "Onward, Christian soldiers." It doesn't say anything about backing up. In God's army, his drummers only know charge. They don't know retreat. His buglers can only play charge. They can't play retreat. He expects us to go forward in today and the age we live in. God hadn't left the building yet. David was serving Saul an important job there in the palace. His advisors said, go back, run, fly, get out of here. It's not safe. But David refused. He refused to go back to the past. He wanted to press forward. You see, David's friends had forgotten that it wasn't the mountains that protected him when he was out there. It was God. The God of the mountains protected him when he was in those mountains. And the same God can protect him in the palace as well. David expressed his confidence in God here. He expressed his confidence that God was still in control. God's in charge, and he can protect him wherever he needs to. And yes, Saul threw the javelins, and they stuck in the wall behind him. But God guided them, and they didn't pierce David. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about foundations. First, the foundations of freedom. Benjamin Franklin, you know, that kind of eccentric inventor in our former days of our government. The one that invented the Benjamin Franklin fireplace. The one that played with the kite in the rainstorm. He appealed to our first president, President Washington. He wrote him a letter appealing and asking for a national day of prayer. In his letter, he said in part, "We have also been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." Our country was built by men who knew we had to have a strong foundation. Good foundations were laid. Our liberties were built on the Bible. Because of this, America has become a great nation. But we've forgotten our heritage. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let's rebuild them. For far too long, we as Christian people have stood silently by and allowed the devil and his cohorts, the ACLU and other groups, to come by with their sledgehammers and beat on our foundations. We've allowed the enemy to slip in and knock the foundations from beneath us. Psalms 82 and verse 5 says, "They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course." All the foundations of the earth are out of course. True, we know our foundations are in bad shape here in the United States, but this is telling us that the other countries are out of course as well. Do you know any country that is built on the solid rock? First, I'd like to look at the foundation of biblical authority. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." That's the reason our country has had been prosperous. That's the reason we've had success in our earlier wars and battles. It's also the reason we're not having success lately, is because we haven't been founded on biblical principle. America used to be a Bible-reading people, but we've ceased to read the Bible. It's as if the Bible hadn't been written, as far as we're concerned, anymore. But in 2 Timothy, it tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The problem we're having today with the Bible is we don't like what it says. We don't want to do what it says. We would prefer our own ideas, our own imaginations, to God's wisdom. Mark Twain, you know, the author that wrote Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer and other books, I don't think he professed any kind of religion. But he said most people are bothered by these passages in the Scripture which they cannot understand. But as for me, the passages which trouble me are those which I do understand. And I think too many of us are just like him. We know more than what we do. We're troubled by what we do understand, and we don't want to follow it. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And may it be so. May we build on those foundations. Folks, we must rebuild the foundation of biblical authority. Next, I would like to look at the foundation of morality. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, it says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death." The end thereof is the ways of death. The Bible lays the moral standards for all men to live by. It gives them to us for our own good, not for because he's getting even with us for something we've done or something. But he gives us these standards for our own good, for our own health, for our own happiness. The Bible should lay the morality in America, and there was a time when it did. But our conscience has been defiled by the newspapers, the magazines, the radio, the television, the internet, the iPods, and various other electronic devices. We've been conditioned by seeing it over and over and over again to smile at sin. Some examples that we see daily are the gay rights movements, the women's rights movements, the choice movement, and that's nothing but murder, folks. Whatever happened to ask for the old paths wherein is the good way and walk therein and you shall find rest for your souls? We built on a strong foundation of morality, and that foundation is crumbling right before our very eyes. And then there's the foundation of family. God started that foundation. He laid the first stone back in the first of Genesis. Satan come out with his sledgehammer in the third chapter of Genesis, and he's been beating on that foundation ever since. But Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 20, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." And I know, folks, you're not all wives, and you're not all husbands, but we are all children. And we do want to all be pleasing to the Lord, so let's follow Paul's admonition here. J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI director back in the 50s and 60s, said there's no synthetic replacement for a decent home life. It is seldom that a solid and wholesome home life can be found in the absence of religious inspiration. In other words, if your home's not guided by the Bible, if God's not the head of your home, then nobody is. Anarchy rules, or Satan is the head of your home. But the breakdown of the family is not the rebellious teenager. We see those given the blame for it so much today. And as a bus driver, as some of you are, we know what rebellious teenagers are. All of us have seen them walking down the street, going through their gyrations, bobbing their heads, listening to rock music or rap or something other else. We've seen them stoned out of their minds by drugs or alcohol. We've seen their long hair and their dirty, unkempt. But that's not where America failed on the home life. Folks, it's the fault of irresponsible parents. Usually dads have failed to train up their child in the way that they should go. The divorce rate in America back in 1920 was 1 out of every 7 marriages. In 1940, it was 1 out of every 6. In 1960, it was 1 out of every 4. In 1980, it was 1 out of every 2. In 1994, it was 2 out of every 3. And today, they tell us that 52% of all marriages end in divorce. And you say, well, that sounds like we're getting better, because now it's just 52% versus 2 out of 3 in 94. But no, the difference is so many aren't even bothering to get married nowadays. If our foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Folks, we need to get down on our knees with our tools and clean out the rubble like Nehemiah did when he rebuilt the wall. Get the rubble and the trash carried out of the way and start rebuilding. The foundation of education was one of our strong rocks. Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved. And God's telling us today for us to study to show ourselves approved. We're not really talking about reading, writing, and arithmetic. That may be included, but it's talking about studying the Word of God. That we'll be workmen, so that we need not be ashamed. That we'll be able to wield the sword of God wisely. The first public school in America was founded by the Puritans back in 1647. The Word of God was the center of the curriculum then. Because they said it is one chief project of that old deceiver, Satan, to keep men from the knowledge of the Scriptures. That school was founded that people would be able to learn to read God's Word. But since that day, schools have forsaken the Bible. Oh, I've been in a show school, and I've seen the Bible sitting on teachers' desks there. But it used to be on all of them, and now it's exception to the rule rather than the rule. We went from teaching creation in school to evolution. We went from prayer and Bible reading to start out the day to school shootings. From God to godlessness. From Gideon's passing out Bibles in the 5th grade to all the students who wanted one, to the school nurse passing out birth control even down to kindergartners. The foundations of good government is the next foundation I think we'll look at. Proverbs 29 verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And folks, that's where we're at today. The people are mourning because the wicked are bearing rule. George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Opinion polls mean nothing to good leaders. But today, our leaders stick their finger up, see which way the wind's blowing. They don't have an anchor. They don't have anything to tie to. And their ship of state is veering the way the wind's blowing and not tied to what's right. They're not anchored to God's word anymore. And the last foundation I want to look at is the foundation of salvation. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11 said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Folks, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the stone that the builders rejected. And it's time that we get down those ditches. That stone's not moved any. God said, "I change not." It's time that we lay our plumb line, hook it on the chief cornerstone and pull it tight and repair, rebuild our foundations. Let's lay them straight that our country, our homes, our churches will stand and not fall. For Jesus tells us of the house that was built on the sand. It had the pretty view. Great was the fall of it. The view wasn't so great anymore as a pile of rubble. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Rebuild them, folks, and that's our responsibility yet today. God's in the business of rebuilding, repairing foundations, and He expects us to join Him. John chapter 3, verse 8 said, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." He expects us to line up with Him. He expects us to use the tools that He's given us and repair the foundation. He promised the church that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. David here was given bad advice by his friends that he should flee and not fight. His friends were short-sighted, cowardly, and depressed because of their dangerous situation. But cowardice is always dangerous and deadly. And any advice to desert your post of duty is unwise and sinful. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And they are being destroyed. But it's our job, our responsibility to rebuild the foundations. Let's make sure that our buildings line up with the chief cornerstone, because God said, "I change not." He hadn't moved. And we have those following after us. We have our kids, our grandkids, and our buildings are toppling. They're teetering. Let's rebuild them lest they fall. If we rebuild on the Word, you know, God said, Jesus said as He talked of the building that was put on a solid foundation, He said, "And it fell not, and neither will anything founded on His Word." We can rebuild the foundations. We can give our life, our resources, our energy to restoring those foundations. And folks, Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's all I have this morning, but let's remember our foundations, where we come from, and where we're going. Let's stand this morning. I think I'll ask Vaughn to dismiss us, please.